This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com.
Okay, yeah, so, you know, I like a few days ago, you know, my Facebook feed informed me that there was a little brouhaha going on at Princeton, an undergraduate course taught by Lawrence Rosen, who's a professor of anthropology there, was embroiled in some sort of conflict because Professor Rosen allegedly used the N-word multiple times in the course, in the class that day, and that caused the six African-American students in the class to walk out. So that's what I heard on Facebook. And then yesterday, I believe it was, the Chronicle of Higher Education published a story on this. And so just to give you a little background, so as I said, Rosen is a professor of anthropology at Princeton, right? And he was, this course is a course on hate speech, blasphemy, and pornography. And in this course, and, you know, and students, I think, have confirmed this, is his first use of the word was when he asked students whether it was worse for a white man to punch a black man or a white man to call a black man the N-word, right? And in that first use of the N-word, students got a little upset, and then a student basically from the Facebook conversation, the student basically said, well, was that really necessary? Did you have to say the whole word? Did you have to pronounce it the way that you did? Because I don't know if you're all well-versed in the use of the N-word, but there's certain ways to pronounce it when it's meant to as a slur, and another way to pronounce it when it's meant, you know, as like something inclusive, right? So one's about closure, right? And one's about
But wasn't the point that he was discussing it in the context of it being used as a slur?
Well, so here's the thing. So I don't know. I wasn't in the class. I assume that was the point, right? So then my question, my question is, how good was he at laying the context for this and whatever, right? We could speculate for days, right, about why students got upset, right? But the reason why I bring this up is because there are a slew of colleges and universities right now who are grappling with issues of freedom of speech and expression. I know here at Georgetown, I was on the steering committee to rewrite our freedom of speech and expression policy, and we are also now rewriting our harassment policy because the harassment policy is seen as undermining our new freedom of speech and expression policy. And it's a little bit crazy out there, right? So I don't know what it's like on your respective campuses. Oh, actually, I kind of know what it's like at your escape room.
We'll hold that for a while.
I thought this thing with Rosen was just so, like, what an annoying campus cliche. And in particular, I mean, what did he expect was going to happen? And in fact, in many ways, what happened, you know, he should be happy. Because I assume he was just trying to make an extremely obvious point about the nature and consequences of taboo or ugly speech versus physical violence. And then the sort of stupid irony is that while he's presenting himself to his class in the grand tradition of, I'm an anthropologist and I'm going to blow your minds with my insights into where the categories that can't be violated lie in our society, you know, now, like, he and his supporters afterwards, of course, to attempt to evade the obvious consequences of the thing that he said and how he said it, even though the entire point of the exercise was supposedly to draw attention to those consequences. So, you know, it's enough to turn you into like a second year comp lit grad student. You know, guess what? If I do something transgressive and kicky, I will in fact get the blowback that comes with being transgressive and kicky. The irony is unbearable.
Well, but
what do you think was going to happen?
Well, yeah, but I draw a distinction when the point is not to be transgressive and kicky for its own sake, but to, you know, spark a discussion about it. And you know, I you wonder what's interesting too is you'll note the classes on hate speech, blasphemy, and pornography. I highly doubt anybody, you know, even religiously devout people would have walked out if he said, "God damn it, Jesus Christ," you know. Or for that matter,
I'm done with this podcast.
Yeah, you know,
I bid you good day, sir.
Yeah.
Hello, it is Ash Wednesday.
Well, I'm well aware of that, or for that matter, even if he showed pornography, I don't think it would have gotten the same reaction.
I'm quite confident it would have gotten the same reaction.
You did have that case at Northwestern like 5 or 10 years ago where a professor invited a couple into his class to give a live demonstration of sex toys involving power tools. I thought that that was conceived because I kind of don't see the pedagogical point of that exercise.
That was conceived, yeah.
but whereas this, it's much easier to see the pedagogical point.
No, so I mean, whatever. So let's think about this in context. I mean, we were joking before about being Ash Wednesday, right? But, you know, so number one, it is Black History Month. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, right? And also, like number two, I do think it is all in the delivery. I think it's less about the deliverer and more about the delivery and the ways in which you actually set the stage for a conversation. Right.
You honestly believe that?
You know, I'm curious to hear
in what intonation I could do it and it would be acceptable.
There are many classes, you know, I know historians, for example, who teach courses on the 19th century and Civil War, and they're reading documents and then they prepare the ground with their students just sort of saying, well, you know, this is going to come up and here's how we're going to talk about it. Now, that's quite different, a context from instead of saying, you know, here's this word, I'm going to use it in the context of, you know, it's to be as provocative and transgressive as I can. Mm. It seems harder to lay the groundwork, in the latter context than in the former.
Yeah, you know, so yes. Gabriel, so it's kind of like, and you know, maybe this is a cool segue into your banter, but it's kind of like the difference between between having views that might be seen as some as being provocative, and just being malicious, right? And so I'm wondering whether or not the problem here is that the students who walked out, right? For them, it was less about him using this word, right? As a way to be controversial, as a way to spark conversation, and more about them actually thinking that he was just being malicious.
Well, I appreciate the attempt to segue, but I open to being convinced otherwise if I were to see a video of this class, but from the nature of the class, the title of the class, I would bet good money that he was, you know, doing this in because it was pertinent to the class discussion. And you can't really talk about basically, you know, cultural taboos involving speech without using the single biggest taboo in American speech. And so I would be shocked if it was anything other than in quotes, basically, of here's this incredibly offensive term and let's talk about why it's offensive. I just can't imagine it being anything other, but like I said, I'm open to be convinced if I saw a tape of the class and saw that, like, you know, he was using it as basically in the second person, for instance, you know, that could be excessive.
Yeah, but like,
it seemed like Leslie.
Go, Karen.
It seemed like Leslie's point there comes back that he was using it in the context of the class, but it sounded like he just kind of dropped it in into the conversation, you know, without without sort of saying, okay, you know, here's the context, and doing that does amount to a kind of, you know, you're just kind of sideswiping the students as they go by, and so he could be using it in the way that you were describing, Gabe, but dropping it in a way
that's
provocative.
That's not how it's described in the write-ups I'm seeing, but like I said, I'm open to changing my mind if I were to see a tape of the class. It's entirely possible that he was using it for pedagogical purpose, but did so without a bunch of warnings, you know, beforehand.
It could be, but it's also like, we all know what the word sounds like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I don't know if he needs to spell it out multiple times. We've all heard the word. I don't know if there's like an additional, if the pronunciation or intonation is adding some type of additional information to the student's understanding of hate speech. I mean, there's that potential aspect as well.
I was just going to say, this kind of reminds me of the Philip Roth novel, The Human Stain, right? With the difference being that, you know, the main character in The Human Stain is actually African-American and no one knows. And he uses the word spook. And it could be deciphered in any way. It could be subject to interpretation. And the way that he was using it actually wasn't as a racial epithet. And so it was ironic that he ends up having to like go into early retirement or whatever because of it. Whereas, I mean, that's not the case, obviously, with Rosen. Yeah. The word was unmistakable.
Martin Bresler told me that was a true story.
What, the human stain?
Well, not the bit about the professor in question being a black guy who was passing as white, but the issue that there were a couple of students who were late to class, and the professor asked the other students, does anybody know where these spooks are? And he meant it in the sense of their ghosts, and they're absent or they're invisible. But, you know, he didn't know that the students in question were black. And so it was taken as a ethnic slur. And it was a big fracas.
I was facing this issue myself just this week. I teach this course called Taboo Markets. And we were just getting to the week where we're reading some Mary Douglas and other material on taboo. So you want to, you know, shake the students up a little bit. And I was trying to think of, you know, well, how can I get them a sense of the sort of visceral response that people have to taboos without ending up as a local news item. and this thing was going on. I don't know if you saw it. Seeing it, I was teaching the course yesterday, which was Valentine's Day, as well as Shove Tuesday. And there's this nice, there's a series of videos called Cooking with Your Mouth that you can look up on YouTube, which is literally this woman with a sort of Nigella Lawson English accent in a pristine kitchen, preparing various foods using only her mouth and occasionally her hand as the utensil for chopping, mixing, and investigating. And it's a good way to, if you really want to sort of genuinely gross out your average sophomore in a U.S. class, but as I say, not end up on the local Fox News affiliate, this is a good way to do it.
Well, Kieran, I don't know if you have a significant other out there, but today is actually Valentine's Day. Yesterday was Galentine's Day. So.
Oh, that's right. I'm on the wrong day entirely.
You better head off to the drugstore after this interview, Kieran.
No, because if I thought it was yesterday, that means, you know, I probably did something I can't remember.
I'm just disappointed to hear that your little class breaching experiment wasn't, you know, having them get a side job as a prostitute or sell a kidney or something like that.
Right, we tried that last year, and I was hauled up before human subjects.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.